two All-Star games lived up to their billing in the quarterfinals. 10 goals across the respective first leg ties. An unreal collection of strikes at the Bernabeu saw it finish Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 3. While Arsenal turned to their bench to salvage a draw against the German champions Bayern. We'll react to both games and preview Atletico Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain versus Barcelona in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. So it finished Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 3, Arsenal 2, Bayern 2. I'm joined on the show tonight by European football expert Kevin Hatchard. And Kevin, it was real high calibre, real high drama in our last eight games.
I'm going to say something to you I've said to you a lot on this show down the years. I do genuinely believe the back end of this competition gives you the highest standard of football that there is on the planet. And I think we've seen that again. Great goals, amazing patterns of play, some great coaching. You can see how players have been drilled. Fascinating battles. I think it's been absolutely tremendous and beautifully poised for us to do it all again next week.
Absolutely right. Okay, to Spain first, where we had a repeat of one of last season's semi-finals. Manchester City at Real Madrid. Kevin was alongside match commentator Mark Scott.
Letexia gets the ball back, its required distance, and it's an early goal and in! Bernardo Silva has caught Lunin out!
Whips it round the wall, Lunin does get a hand to it, and he knows that he probably should keep it out.
Backwards to Camavinga, Grealish comes to try and knock him off, Camavinga goes for goal, it's in! Deflected in, Real Madrid up the other end, they've completely caught out the City defence, and it's gone beyond Ortega and in! Rodrigo has scored for Real Madrid! Incredible start to the game.
If you wanted a goal to sum up Rodrigo, that's it. And the reason is he slows it down and he almost lets Akanji go past him. It's really smart play because that's what opens up the space to have the shot.
Stones, who lays it off for Foden to have a go. Oh, that is a ripper from Phil Foden to draw Manchester City level. An absolute arrow from the England man.
Grealish. Jinks one way, then the other. Looks to go backwards of square to Guardiola, who's had a hit! Oh, it's another stunner! I do not believe it! That is some strike from Guardiola from fully 20 metres out. Vinicius Junior picks it up and plays it across. Oh! How about that for a leveller? That is a stunner from Valverde. We have been treated to some really special strikes this evening.
There are not many players in world football who hit a ball as well as Fede Valverde. It's amazing.
And it would finish 3-3 at full time. Mark joins Kevin and myself. Now, Mark, let's try and go through this chronologically, because we knew that Kevin De Bruyne was ill and only on the bench for City. That was the big team news. Tchouameni started at centre-back for Madrid. But we had that amazing moment in the opening stages when André Lunin was caught out, really, by a very smart Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, absolutely. A free kick early on for Manchester City, kind of position that perhaps Kevin De Bruyne would have fancied having a go at goal himself from. But while the goalkeeper, Lunin, sorted out his wall, Bernardo Silva spotted an opportunity. And while the goalkeeper and the Madrid defenders perhaps expected a clipped ball in, he went for the near post, caught the keeper out. He couldn't get back quickly enough to shovel it away, and they were ahead.
They looked really nervous at that stage once that went in, and there was a really important period where City were starting to, you know, work their patterns and starting to open up spaces, and Real Madrid had to dig really deep. And actually, if you looked at the challenge from Tchouameni that leads to the free kick from which Bernardo Silva scores, that's the kind of mistake he doesn't normally make. He just dived in, picked himself up a yellow card barely a minute in. And you thought, oh, is there a little bit of a hangover from the semi-final last season? Are they a little bit jittery here? But I have to give them huge credit, because what they did with the equaliser from Camavinga, which was deflected in, was they had a long spell of possession where they just felt their way back into the game. They wanted to keep the ball, move it from side to side, and just feel like they were in the game. And what changed it was the Camavinga suddenly saw a tiny gap. It wasn't that big. We saw a gap to drive into and drove in. lets fly, takes a big deflection and goes in for the equaliser. For me, that's actually one of the biggest moments of the whole game, because it was the one thing that stopped them collapsing early on, because once that goal went in, they played with intensity, bit of swagger, and then they were in.
Yeah, and they went 2-1 up with a really quick counter-attack. Manchester City pushing a bit too high up, and the pace of Rodrigo caught them out. He kept his cool. There was a little bit of fortune about it again, a little tickle of a deflection that took it beyond Ortega and in. And then when they were 2-1 up, you really feared for Manchester City, because they seemed to just lose their way a little bit, lose their composure. A bit fortunate to go in just 2-1 down at the interval. And then actually in the start of the second half, there was a massive opportunity for Vinicius Junior, weaved his way into the area and then lifted it over the bar when he should really have been hitting the target. And Manchester City then produced some individual quality moments. Phil Foden with an argument for the goal of the night, but there'll be a lot of debate about that, as he let fly with an absolute ripper from the edge of the area that flew into the top corner. And soon after that, Gvardiol from out of nowhere with his first goal for the club, a super hit after the ball bounced favourably up for him from the edge of the box. And then you just wondered where Madrid were going, and I wonder if the introduction of Luka Modric, that wise old head, helped to just sort of like get the pendulum going back their way, and they managed to pop up with a level of their own, which I think Kevin feels was the goal of the night, when Fede Valverde lashed in on the volley from a wonderful clip into the area by Vinicius Junior. It could have been anything. It ended up 3-3.
I think what changed the fabric of the game in the second half was City just playing with a little bit more pace, moving the ball much more quickly. And I think Real Madrid, to an extent, blew themselves out a little bit, because they've been really intense. They were in City's faces. They were making it really tough for them. Suddenly, it was a little bit easier for City to move the ball. The other thing they did, which is what we were saying they should have done more of in the second half, and they obliged, was getting Jack Grealish on the ball down that left-hand side, because he was causing Carvajal all kinds of problems. He was backing him up into the box, and Carvajal doesn't like that. And what it meant was Valverde was trying to come and help him and double up. Well, what that does is it obviously then creates a pocket of space. That's where Gvardiol's goal to make it 3-2 comes from, because as soon as Grealish has laid it off, he's got the space to shoot. Bit fortunate with the bouncy first touch, but the second touch you'd absolutely take. Brilliant game, wonderful clash of styles. They play in totally different ways, and what a mixture it was.
Finished 1-1 this game last season in a semi-final first leg of the Bernabeu. But I think if we look at the absentees at the back, I wonder if this helped contribute to the volume of goals, because I think there'd be a case that Ake, Walker and Edison will start for City if fully fit. Militao, Alaba, Courtois probably will start for Real Madrid. You know, do you think that played a part as well? I mean, we were just dissecting the fact that with the Rodrigo goal, if it's Carl Walker at right back, maybe he can get to Rodrigo a little bit quicker and fix that problem.
Goal doesn't happen if Walker's on the pitch. I genuinely believe that, because he's got the recovery pace to get back and also stand Rodrigo up. The key to the goal, actually, is because Akanji's desperately trying to get there. Rodrigo's so smart, he knows that. So he just stops a little bit, lets Akanji go past him, and that opens up the space to get the shot. And it just flick Akanji as it goes through. There's a bit of fortune there. But Walker is so good in those situations, because he trusts his pace and he can get there in a controlled way. A lot of defenders can't do that, so I think he would have made a massive difference.
On the flip side, though, what about the fact that Tchouameni and Rudiger together kept Erling Haaland pretty quiet all evening?
Oh, yeah, talk to us about that, Mark. What do you think they did that?
Well, I mean, Kevin pointed out that part of it was down to a lack of service. He didn't get as many balls in. There was no De Bruyne, who is obviously the biggest source of feeding Erling Haaland with balls through to him. But I think the physicality of them, the pace of Rudiger was all over him from the word go, seemed to relish that battle, seemed to try and bully Haaland rather than sort of let him bully him. And generally came out on top throughout the course of the evening. Just the physicality, athleticism, a little bit of devilment as well. It's a great combination.
The irony is, actually, I was going to say, just before Foden gets that incredible equaliser, I was going to say they've not got in behind at all so far. Well, when you can hit the ball like Foden can from range, you don't have to, because you can play.
He had a few sighters, hadn't he? That was the thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like it was coming, wasn't it? He'd had a few, like, tried to get into that little pocket just by the edge of the area so he can have a look up and then ping. And the first two or three didn't work, and then that one well.
And it underlined the tiredness that Real Madrid was starting to feel, because they moved it to Foden, and Kroos doesn't get out to him. He just can't quite summon up the energy to get there, hangs out a leg, and it's not enough. So I think actually, you know, you'd normally look at this and you'd say Real Madrid have missed an opportunity, and they have. I think Mark's right. I think they'll look at this and think, well, we could have won that. But they'll go to England, they'll play the same game, I think, because they'll know City are going to have loads of possession. You know, if Walker plays, then it is a slightly different game. But I think they'll play the same way. They'll let City have possession. They'll trust themselves to cause problems on the counter-attack. I imagine they'll press in the same way they have, because it was effective. So they've just got to try and play in the same way. They're going to have a defensive reshuffle, because Tchouaméni picked up that early yellow card. So they've got a bit of work to do there. Could be Nacho comes in. That is a bit of a different matchup, because I think physically him against Haaland isn't quite going to be the same thing. So they've got a lot to think about, but they're certainly not out of this, I don't think, Real Madrid by any stretch.
At the weekend, by the way, Manchester City host Luton on Saturday, and Real Madrid go away to Real Mallorca. You'd imagine Madrid with that 8 points clear, I think, isn't it, of Barcelona, would have the scope to rotate more. But Pep Guardiola's shown in recent weeks his faith, and certainly did against Aston Villa, didn't he, that if he changes the 11, they can still get a big result.
And also resisted making changes until very, very late on this evening as well.
Phil Foden, by the way, who did come off with an injury issue, although looked okay at full time when he was smiling with his teammates. UEFA Player of the Match. He's 22 goals, 10 assists now for the season. I mean, given the fact he wasn't a starter, was he, last season for the final and not in the side?
You know, the interest
is a remarkable turnaround.
I spoke to him earlier this season after a game in the Premier League at Brentford when he scored a hat-trick. And the one thing I said to him, oh, you've already topped your goal tally from last season. He said, I've always wanted to be a goal scorer. People don't think I'm a goal scorer, but this is what I want to do. I want to not just create, I want to score. And boy, with that kind of finish, that kind of clinical hit, he really is doing that.
He's got everything you need, because he's got that burst of pace, but he has a picture of everything around him. I mean, he's just one of those guys that, I mean, people talk about him, don't they? He's always got football at his feet. He's just one of those people that just loves the feel of the ball at his feet. And he's aware of everything around him, technically brilliant, you know, can cross, can shoot, can play little slip passes through. And he's just more consistent now. That's all it is. Yeah. It's just more consistency. And Pep Guardiola will do this to you as a player. He'll challenge you. Every so often he'll go, OK, you're not in my team. See if you can force your way back in. And, you know, it's happened to Bernardo. It's happened to him.
It's happened to De Bruyne a bit, but
you can't get away with it with De Bruyne for long, because he's so good. He has to force his way back in. Alvarez has had spells where he's been in the team, you know, then not so much. This is what he does. He keeps you on your toes, and that's why you've got to have an amazing squad. But I agree. I think ahead of the Euros, I mean, he's a sensational footballer.
It's only the fourth time in the UEFA Champions League that both teams have scored three or more in the first leg of a knockout tie. The previous example being Manchester City against Real Madrid in 21-22 when it finished 4-3. More on this game to come. We'll look at tonight's other match and ahead to Wednesday's Champions League action too.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
To London next, where Arsenal were playing in the quarterfinals of the competition for the first time in 14 years against six-time winners Bayern. Joe Shannon is your commentator.
Great ball by Odegaard. Saka has spun away from Davis down by the corner of the penalty area, and he gets a return ball from White. Saka shoots! What a finish! Bukayo Saka, Arsenal's star boy, curls it beyond Manuel Neuer, and 12 in. Arsenal strike first in the quarterfinal.
Well, here's a chance for Leon Goretzka, through towards Gnabry. He's scored.
Serge Gnabry, against his old club, has equalised for Bayern.
Sane racing up the middle. Brilliant run this is.
What a run by Sane. Is he tripped? Penalty to Bayern.
Kane will hit it.
Oh, and he
he's just rolled it beyond Raya. He dummied the goalkeeper and then pushed the ball into the opposite corner. Harry Kane on his return to England, the former Tottenham striker, has scored against Arsenal. And what a turnaround in the first leg in North London. Here's Jesus inside the area. Great twisting, turning, Trossard! Rolls it into the bottom corner. It's 2-2. And the two subs combine to level it up for Arsenal. Great feat from Jesus. A classic tonight in North London. Arsenal 2, Bayern 2.
OK, let's bring in Joe now to join Kev and myself and reflect on the game. And what a game, Joe.
Sensational game, Rob, I have to say. It ebbed and flowed, certainly. It was a seesaw first leg. Neither team, I think, can claim ultimate dominance over the 90 minutes. I think that a 2-2 draw is about a fair result. It was very interesting watching Bayern in the first half, and you and Kev will have seen a lot of Bayern across the course of the season in the Bundesliga, where it has been a challenging campaign. But, of course, in terms of European competition, so much experience running throughout this Bayern side. And Arsenal, having taken the lead and looking the better team early on, then I felt played slightly over emotionally. To some extent, that's understandable. There were 60,000 Arsenal fans in the crowd. But for me, Bayern used their experience to work a way back into the match. Good finish by Gnabry after an excellent slide rule pass through from Leon Goretzka. And then Leroy Sané, who was substituted relatively early on in the second half. There were doubts over whether he'd be fit for the game, but what a run it was. 40, 50 metres from the halfway line into the penalty area to draw the foul from William Saliba. Kane, as you'd expect, tucked away the penalty very nicely indeed. But then in the second half, Arsenal had much more of the possession. They seemed to settle back into the match. And I think Trossard's goal, good substitutions from Mikel Arteta. Trossard set up by Jesus, who made the impact, having come off the bench as well, and making it 2-2, which I think was a fair reflection of the game overall.
Joe, it was interesting you mentioned Leroy Sané and the impact that he had, because he started the season with Bayern absolutely brilliantly. Loads of goals, loads of assists. He's joint top of the Bundesliga for assists. But he had a spell, and Thomas Tuchel talked about him struggling a bit with a knee injury, having to bite through the pain a little bit. But he was back to his old self in this game, and he can just change the game in the blink of an eye, can't he?
Absolutely. And I think he did that with his pace first and foremost, which is what one of the key qualities that we know has been so important to Leroy Sané over the years. And he troubled Kivior in the first half, and Kivior was taken off at half-time. I think that was a reflection of the impact that the German was having in that wide right area for Bayern, and cutting in field as he loves to do onto that favoured left foot. He's a player with so much experience, a great record against Arsenal. In fact, he was speaking with great admiration about Mikel Arteta in the build-up to this game. The two worked together for a number of years, of course, in their time together at Manchester City when Arteta was part of Pep Guardiola's coaching staff. But Sané was key for Bayern tonight. Kane tucked away the penalty nicely, was always a threat in terms of his hold-up play and the ability to bring the wider players into the game. Coman looked very good when he came on, did hit the post actually with virtually the last clear-cut chance of the match. Kingsley Coman through the legs of David Raya, but denied by the foot of the post. Overall, I think that Thomas Tuchel will be happy with his team's performance. You can't really argue with coming away to a side in Arsenal who have been riding so high in the Premier League. They have so far fended off the challenge of Liverpool and Manchester City to go top of the English Premier League on goal difference, so they're very well placed. But Bayern came here tonight and, having gone a goal down, deservedly worked their way back into the match. And even despite conceding that late equaliser, as I say, I think Thomas Tuchel will be relatively satisfied with a draw to take back to Bavaria.
Let's hear from Arsenal super sub Leandro Trossard, who's in pragmatic mood when assessing the match.
I think not pleased, but obviously when you're 2-1 down at halftime, you take a point at the end. Obviously, I think we started so well the first half, the first 15, 20 minutes were so good. And then, yeah, we could have scored two or three, I think. And then, yeah, when they scored the equaliser, they you can see what kind of quality they have to hurt us as well. And yeah, at the end of the day, it's a draw, so we take it and then we have to finish it off when we go there.
6 goals as a sub this season, more than any other player in Europe's top 5 leagues. And it really was the two players off the bench, wasn't it, Joe, that salvaged it? And I suppose it speaks to the quality not only of those players, but of Arteta making the right moves at the right time.
Absolutely. I think Arsenal, though they had plenty of possession and territory in the second half, did lack a bit of dynamism in the attack. And the changes that Arteta made were positive ones. Trossard for Martinelli perhaps is a like-for-like switch, but Jesus to Jorginho gave Arsenal that extra presence in the final third. It allowed Kai Havertz to drop back into that deeper role, and he's excelled in various positions for Arsenal this season. And Jesus has perhaps had a bit of a frustrating campaign at times. He's been blighted by injury. I think we have to raise that as well. But his feet for the goal were superb. Really deft touches inside the penalty area, and he laid it square to Trossard, who is a very good finisher. And it's a rolled effort beyond the outstretched Neuer. And it was a gleeful moment for Arsenal. At that point, you wondered, could they go on and win? It wasn't to be, but I think in the end, just like Tuchel, Arteta will be relatively satisfied with a draw, and it leaves the tie poised fascinatingly now.
Bayern came into this game after losing at home to rivals Dortmund and collapsing in the end away to Heidenheim, having been 2-0 up and losing 3-2. So how big a result is this for them, do you think, Kev, and for Thomas Tuchel?
It's a brilliant result. It really is, because they needed a statement. I think they provided that. I think they played with real threat going forward, which we said they were capable of doing. But you look at how dangerous Arsenal can be in terms of they shut you down, but they continue to make chances themselves. Well, they didn't shut Bayern down, really. You know, Bayern got the two goals, as Joe said. They hit the post. So I think they'll look at this and think, now it's a one-off game at our place. We've got the fans, which they obviously didn't have in this one. So they've got the fans behind them. I think it's a real opportunity for them. And some Bayern fans will have looked at it and had a bit of trepidation, I think, considering the lack of consistency and how well Arsenal have played. So I think it's a really positive result.
Eric Dier spoke in an interview this week about how after the defeat to Lazio in the round of 16, Thomas Müller spoke in front of all the other players, said, don't worry, they've got to come to our place next. And that is the task for Arsenal, taking part in their first Champions League quarter-final since 2010. Let's hear from their star winger on the night, Leroy Sané.
It was definitely tough. I mean, we expected that. Obviously, it was a good time for us when we came back with the 2-1, and it helped us a lot. But at the end, we knew they're going to pressure us at their home stadium. But yeah, we're happy with the game.
Be interesting to see what shape he's in. Just coming back from injury, Leroy Sané, for the second leg in 8 days' time. It has been a super start to this season's quarterfinals, and the Champions League is back on Wednesday for more last state drama. Four more clubs continue their knockout stage challenge, and you won't miss a moment on Match Day Live. Jack Winstanley has more.
Our commentary match in 24 hours' time comes from France. It's Paris against Barcelona, once again in the Champions League.
Messi tries to get involved really for the first time and plays a lovely ball through for Fia. Takes the touches and a goal is in by Pedro, and Barcelona back in front in the tie.
Now with a cross and there's space and it's 2-0. It's Neymar's second of the night.
Julian Drexler through the middle, options either side, Mbappe on the hat-trick to his left. There it is with a brilliant finish.
It's been 3 years since these sides last met. Paris prevailed in the last 16 in 2021, but you can't mention this famous European fixture without thinking about 2017.
Neymar clips it into the middle of the chance there. Oh, Dustin! History! Sergi Roberto has got the goal! And Barcelona, against every odds, have snatched it in stoppage time.
La Remontada will forever be written into Champions League folklore after Barcelona came back from 4-0 down after the first leg to go through. Kickoff at the Parc de France is at 2100 CEST, and we'll have the whole game live. Regular updates from Spain as well, where Atletico will be hoping to impress once again at home.
Lautaro Martinez, who prepares and now runs up right footed. Oh, and he's blazed it high over the crossbar. And huge celebrations for those inside the Metropolitano.
Atleti's penalty victory against Inter in the last 16 means they grace the quarterfinals yet again under Diego Simeone. In 2024, Dortmund stand in their way.
Oh, PSV have slipped at the back. Royce is in to finish it for Dortmund. And the grand adventure will go on.
Goals as they go in from the Metropolitano tomorrow night. We're on air from 2000 CEST with an hour of the best build-up before both first legs get underway. You do not want to miss it.
Jack Winstanley reporting this. Atletico Borussia Dortmund. Diego Simeone said in his press conference on Tuesday, Dortmund are the hardest opponent we could have had. They've not lost away from home in 4 months and are great on the counter-attack. What do you reckon to that, Kev?
I think that's fair to say. I think if Dortmund play in the way they played in the Clásica a couple of weeks ago away at Bayern, then they're on to a winner, because what they did was they played in a deepish block and they used their pace and quality on the counter-attack. I imagine that's what they'll look to do again. I think Antoine Griezmann's the key to the whole game, because if Atletico can play through him, start creating spaces, create gaps in that block through the middle, then they'll do some damage, because that's what Bayern weren't quite able to do in the Clásica against Dortmund. They were forced wide all the time, and that made it easier for Dortmund. I think Daniel Malen being out is a blow because of his quality and his pace. So it needs guys like Karim Adeyemi to really bring it. And I think Jadon Sancho's interesting, Rob, because there are flashes of what he can do. We're not seeing the peak Jadon Sancho yet. We're seeing little moments where the ideas are good. We're seeing little bits of trickery and, you know, good intent. He got a couple of goals. He got that important goal against PSV in the last rounds. This is the kind of stage where you really want him to thrive.
Daniel Malen ruled out through illness. Emre Can has also been unwell. Memphis reportedly unavailable for Atletico for this one, along with Mario Hermoso. For Barcelona, they named Frenkie de Jong and Pedri in their squad, yet to be declared fit. Gavi's travelling with the group on his recovery from a serious knee injury, but won't play. That would be a massive boost for Barcelona away at Paris Saint-Germain.
It would, because they need that regulator in midfield. They haven't had that. They've been playing Andreas Christensen in there. They've struggled in that area. And what it allows them to do, if they've got Frenkie de Jong in there, just gives a bit more security for the more attacking players, so you can get Gundogan a bit further forward to do some damage. And that's what they're going to need to do, because if you let Paris play and you let Luis Enrique set them up to keep possession, keep moving Barcelona around, you know, get Mbappe into situations where he could be one-on-one, then you're in trouble. So I think if they have got Frenkie de Jong back, and he has been back in training, it's just about how fit is he, but I think if you can get an hour, 70 minutes out of Frenkie de Jong, that suddenly just changes the game.
Hakimi is out suspended after picking up his third yellow card in the competition in the round of 16 against Real Sociedad. Let's turn our attention back to Tuesday night's games in a moment. We're going to hear from Manchester City's goal-scoring defender, Josko Gvardiol, but first here's Pep Guardiola praising his Croatian defender.
We were lucky that he's with us and could play today. Otherwise, it will be so difficult because we don't have players in the back and make an incredible effort. And not just the goal has been amazing, the way he played. He played really, really good. So he's a lovely guy. So we are so happy to have him.
Really happy for my first goal for Man City, especially against a great opponent. So, yeah, happy. First touch was a little bit not that good, but at the end I was like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot the ball and we will see what's going to happen.
Brilliant goal from Gvardiola on the night, but it was not the match winner. Mark Scott was our commentator for this one. Mark, your final reflections of perhaps the player who stood out for you as well.
Glorious chaos. Can't wait to see the second instalment in Manchester next Wednesday. Phil Foden, I think, was the standout player of the match, but the goal of the match was from Valverde.
OK. Arsenal 2, Bayern 2. It finished in North London. We can get the thoughts now of Gunners boss Mikel Arteta.
A lot of the simple things with the ball, especially today, I think we haven't done it with the standards that we normally do, and that have allowed them to have spaces to run, and they are very dangerous. But even with the 2-1, I think the team tried to find the rhythm. It was composed. He didn't start to rush things, and the changes make a big impact to score the second goal.
And Martin Odegaard as well was a massive factor in that, the official UEFA player of the match. Joe, your final reflections and who stood out for you?
A gripping game to watch, and what's exciting going into the second leg, Rob, is you feel that both teams have got a little more to give, both probably played in patches over the course of the 90 minutes. For me, the two players that influenced the game, particularly in that first half, to turn Bayern's position from a 1-0 deficit into a 2-1 lead at that stage, Leroy Sané and Harry Kane, two of the most experienced players out on the field. instrumental in turning things around for Bayern amid a very hostile and raucous atmosphere and 60,000 Arsenal fans. Arsenal got the equaliser, of course, late on, but this is brilliantly poised.
Joe, thank you very much for your coverage this evening. Kev Hatchard, you get the final word. And who's going through, Kev?
I did right in the last 16. I got 7 out of 8 in the last 16.
Did you?
So
okay. We just want the two ties we've had tonight.
Let's I'm going to go for Manchester City just. Wouldn't surprise me if it goes to extra time. But yeah, I'm going to go for City. I'm going to go for Bayern. I think they've done enough maybe to give themselves a chance to go through.
And those two teams, whoever should go through, would meet in the semi-final. This is the same side of the draw for a place in Wembley at the end of the season. That's all we have time for this evening. We'll be back on Match Day Live on Wednesday night from 8 p.m. CET with the other half of our quarter-final matches, Paris Saint-Germain hosting Barcelona, and we'll have live commentary of that one, as well as updates of Atletico versus Borussia Dortmund. And this podcast will be available shortly after full time, so don't forget to subscribe and download via your favourite podcast provider. But from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.